for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, December the 28th, 1990. Holiday week, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This service is a deliverance service. Gene Moody will be ministering. Brother Gene, the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. The Lord sure has made life interesting for Earlene and I, with all we got going on in our life. And I was just talking to Patty about we're going to have to make another adjustment. We've got a new grandchild coming on the way. I think it's going to be a girl. I just have a feeling it's going to be a girl. So we're going to have a new granddaughter. Praise God. We got a grandson. I believe we're going to have a granddaughter. We just see. God hadn't told me, but I just have a feeling that's what it's going to be. Brother Boland, as I listen to him, I find out he's a Bible scholar. And I appreciate people who are biblical scholars who really dig into the Word. And the amazing thing is every time I dig into the Word, I find there's a lot I don't know. Now here, Earlene and I have been in deliverance for 15 years, Glenn and Irma about 25 years. And I would say I consider myself to be an expert in deliverance. Now in the world, I'm also an expert. I'm recognized as an expert in motor vehicle accident reconstruction, civil engineering, structural engineering, land surveying, safety engineering, road design and construction, a few other things. So I'm recognized in the engineering world, I'm recognized in the courts. So I am an expert in many different ways. And I consider myself to be an expert in the area of deliverance. But the amazing thing is every time I take a subject and I research it, God opens my eyes to many things I didn't know. You know, you know in general, but when you get down into the details, there's always a lot you don't know. So this is, I'm back to my typical style. I appreciate all the comments I got yesterday about, praise God. I was totally unprepared. I wasn't expecting Glenn to call on me, and so I figured, well, praise God, you know, if I'm supposed to do it, I must have been ready. Okay, so I'm back to the typical engineer, minister, Moody. I'm well prepared on this one. The subject of this lesson is agree, bind, loose. Notice it's not bind, loose, and agree. As God was showing me this, first we agree, then we bind, then we loose. Now I've got better than a page of scripture, so get your Bibles out, and we're going to go through. Now the main scripture, and most of you know this, is Matthew 18:18-20. Matthew 18:18-20. That's a good one to memorize. We're going to study this verse, and we're going to study companion verses. The Bible says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Agree will be done, bind will be bound, loose will be loosed." Now, let's look at agree, agreed, and agreement. Isaiah 28:15. Isaiah 28:15. "Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Have made covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement." Amos 3:3. Amos 3:3. "Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Matthew 5:25. Matthew 5:25. "Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. agree with thine adversary quickly. Now, we won't read this one, but if you look at Matthew 18:19, which we just read, it says, two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. Now let's look at Mark 14:56. Mark 14:56. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. But their witness agreed not together. 2 Corinthians 6:16. 2 Corinthians 6:16. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. I'm sorry, I'm in 1 Corinthians. Let me go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6:16. That was a good verse, but not on the subject. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? 1 John 5:8. 1 John 5:8. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. And these three agree in one. Now let's look at requirements to agree, bind, loose. Psalms 34:15. Psalms 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The righteous. Psalm 145:18. Psalm 145:18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. To all that call upon him in truth. Now let's look at verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Proverbs 15:29. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. But he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Isaiah 1:15. Isaiah 1:15. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Matthew 5:24. Matthew 5:24. Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Chapter 7:22. Chapter 7:22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? That's interesting. I must have the wrong verse there. It must be 23 then. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, the verse that I was looking at, it says, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. That's it. I thought it was in Matthew, but it may be in some other. Anyway, it's a verse that it says that when Jesus asked the people to follow him, they said, we've got all kind of things to do. Matthew 8:22? Okay, Matthew 8:22. Thank you. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Okay, let me correct my lesson here. Matthew 8:22. All right, let's go to John 9:31. John 9:31. Now you know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Chapter 15:7. Chapter 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Chapter 20:23. Chapter 20:23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. 1 Timothy 2:8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one to another. I just might make a comment about that. That's the scripture I use for ministering to people privately. They come to me and Earlene, and they tell us things they wouldn't tell their own pastor. We get down to the nitty-gritty of life, and that's the verse I stand on. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another. Chapter 2, verse 20. That's interesting. Okay, I left it. Let's see if it's James 2:20. Yeah, that's it. Okay, James 2:20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Okay, let me mark my lesson up here. O vain man, that faith without works is dead. 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. 1 John 3:22. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever ye ask, we receive of him, because we could keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing. 5:14. Chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, some of the keys out of those verses were: the righteous in truth fear him, reconcile to thy brother, follow me, abide in me, sins ye remit, holy hands, confess your faults, faith without works is dead, keep his commandments, and according to his will. Now let's look at bind and binding. Numbers 3:20. Okay, Numbers 32. Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. Yeah, I'm sorry. I said 3:2. It's actually 32. Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Swear oath to bind his soul with a bond, shall not break his word. Deuteronomy 6:8. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. Job 38:31. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bind or loose? Proverbs 3:3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Isaiah 61:1. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound. Bind up the brokenhearted, open the prison to them that are bound. Matthew 12:29. Matthew 12:29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind a strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Except he first bind a strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Who's the strong man? Right. Okay, chapter 16, 19. Chapter 16, 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, 18:18 we've already read, but it says, Verily I say unto you, bind and loose. Mark 3:27. Mark chapter 3, verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind a strong man, and then he will spoil his house. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods without binding. Now let's look at bound and bounds. Genesis 44:30. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life. Numbers 34. And her father hear her vow, and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. And every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. Now, there's also a verse in there about husband and wife. And it just sort of struck me as if I hear Erlene make a vow that she shouldn't make, I better do something about it. That's one more responsibility you've got, men, your husbands. God should put the responsibility on us. Deuteronomy 32:8. Deuteronomy 32:8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. He set the bounds of the people according to the number. 1 Samuel 25:29. 1 Samuel 25:29. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life. Job 14:5. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Chapter 38:20. Chapter 38:20. That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof. That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof. Psalms 107:10. Psalms 107:10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Being bound in affliction and iron. Proverbs 22:15. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Chapter 30:4. Chapter 30:4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Lamentations 1:14. Lamentations 1:14. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand. They are wreathed and come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, from whom I am not able to rise up. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand. Hosea 5:10. Hosea 5:10. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Luke 13:16. Luke 13:16. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed. Acts 20:22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Chapter 23, verse 14. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we shall eat nothing until we have slain Paul. We have bound ourselves under a great curse. Romans 7:2. Romans 7:2. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law. 2 Timothy 1:3. Okay, that's the wrong way. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Let's try that one. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. Now let's look at loosed. Job 30:11. Because he hath loosed my cord and afflicted me, they have also let loose the bridle before me. Because he hath loosed my cord and afflicted me. Isaiah 58:6. Isaiah 58:6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens. Acts 12:6. Acts 12:6. Okay, I got the wrong one thing. Okay, the verse that I had in mind is, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken. Okay, Ecclesiastes 12:6. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken. I had a new experience. I preached my first funeral. And you know, the only thing that God could impress, that I was impressed to do, is just read Scripture. So I just read the people's Scripture that I felt like they needed to hear. And I really couldn't come up with a message. All I could come up with is read them Scripture that they should hear. So that's what I did. And then Earlene talked about family. We had a good relationship with the family, and Earlene talked about the family, and then I read them Scripture. Okay, stand up and take a stretch. Let's get a stretch before I get into the written part of the lesson here. We've walked through the Bible, and we've taken a look at agree, agreed, agreement, requirements to agree, bind, loose, bind, binding, bound, bounds, loose, loosed. Feels good, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Okay, after you take a good stretch, then you can sit down. Now I'm going to get into some definitions. Agree, agreed, agreement. Means to be into or for, in good mind, the same, like or similar, persuade, prevail upon, make one opinion, sound or speak together, put together, be met together, a putting down together. Binding means to bind, gird, wrap around, fetter, tie, press, compress, bind a conspirator, entangle, yoke, fashion, stretch out before, bind around, bind under, bind up, straighten, bind fast, bind along with, and obliging. Bound, bounds, means to be bound, enclosed place, statute, limit, bent, bending, bowed down, thread, cord, bound to, bind, tie, fetter, press, be twisted together, one bound, be wrapped around, press, bind around, be laid around about, bound with, mark, limit, set limit, and make an enclosure. Loose, loosed, means to draw off, cast off, loose, shake off, open, loose off or away, make inactive, send again or up, let go, lift up, lead forth, shake off, send forth or away, open for oneself, be loosed, be melted, be spread out, be opened and loosened. So those are short definitions of agree, agreed, agreement, bind, binding, bound, bounds, and loose, loosed, which I took out of Strong's. Now I'll make some comments. Okay. Now we're getting into my comments. It's always sort of dangerous to give your own comments, but I do. Agreeing. We can make covenants with God or Satan, which will result in blessings or cursings. If we walk together in the Spirit, we must agree in our hearts, not just in our heads or mouths. It is better to agree with your enemy than to suffer the consequences. Husband and wife make a strong team before God when they can truly agree and seek Him. Witnesses will not agree when they are false. We should not agree to subject our bodies, the temples of God, to fornicate with idols. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost agree as one. Now let's look at requirements. God says in the Bible that He will listen to the righteous who speak the truth, fear Him, offer up their prayers, are reconciled to their brothers, follow the Lord, abide in Him, His word abides in them, remit the sins of those who sin against them, have holy hands, confess their faults, pray for one another, have faith with works, keep His commandments, and ask according to His will. Now let's look at the contrary. The contrary is also true. He will not listen to you if your hands are full of blood, you are a sinner, have wrath and doubting, are vain, and follow the dead in Christ. This applies if you're unrighteous, untruthful, do not respect God, have unforgiveness against your brother, and will not repent, follow man, do not read the Bible, do not release others from their sins, have unclean hands, do not repent, have no works in the Lord, do not obey the Bible, and pray according to your will. In other words, if you do not follow God, don't expect God to follow you. Binding. We can bind or bound our soul with our words. We can bind the Word of God on our hearts. We cannot bind or loose the things that God controls. We can bind up the brokenhearted and set at liberty those that are in spiritual prisons. We can bind Satan, the strong man, and tear up his playhouse in this world. We are commanded to bind the forces of evil from ourselves and others. We cannot destroy the works of Satan unless we use the weapons of God. Binding, loosing, and agreeing. Now, that's not all the weapons. That's just the ones I'm teaching about in this lesson. Okay, but if you want to destroy the works of Satan, then you're going to have to bind, loose, and agree. Our life can be bound up in others. God sets bounds on the earth, nations, and people. He has set a bound on our lifespan. We can be bound in affliction and other yokes of bondage. A child is born with a sin nature in his heart. It is fruitless to try to remove the boundaries placed by God unless they are there because of sin. Satan and his forces of evil can place boundaries on us, such as sickness and so forth. We can be bound by our spirits. We can be bound with curses we have placed on ourselves. We are bound by marriage before God and man. We are bound to give thanks. Now let's look at loosing. God can bind or loose cords on us of affliction or death. We are to help others loose the bands of wickedness and get rid of the heavy burdens. We are commanded to loose the forces of evil from ourselves and others. All right, let's look at agreeing, binding, loosing. Now, I always try to put these things in an order. And there was a systematic order that I think that God is telling us. I'm going to go through this about three times to give you the picture. First, we are to agree on earth to overcome the forces of evil. Second, we are to bind the forces of evil here on earth. God will then bind the forces of evil in heaven that affect us here on earth. Third, we are to loose the forces of evil here on earth. God will then loose the forces of evil in heaven that affect us here on earth. Now let's look at some of the aspects of this. There are times when we only want to agree with another Christian in the name of Jesus Christ about some matter. There are times when we only want to bind the forces of evil and leave the evil forces in place. There are rarely times when we only want to loose the forces of evil to do their dirty work. That probably needs a little bit of explaining. One time we had this ruler demon in a man that we couldn't budge, so we loosed him. And he began to tear up our house. But nevertheless, we got him to manifest, and we got him to where we could work on him some. But rarely do you loose a demon to do their dirty work. Generally, we want to complete the job and eliminate the source of the problem when we can. This means that we agree on the job to be done, bind the forces of the enemy, and finally loose the forces of evil from the person. In deliverance, which is what we're going to do here, we agree to get rid of the demons in a person's body, flesh, and soul. Then we bind up the forces of the demons so that they cannot manifest or harm anyone. Finally, we cast the demons out in Jesus' name out of the person's body into dry places. Now the demons are on the outside of the body, and the person must guard against letting the demons come back in to his or her body by wrong actions. Now, all of you realize that every demon that we cast out of you will come back and try you repeatedly. They don't give up easily. They may try you for years. If this has been a real strong area in your life, they'll try you for years. Okay, now I want to do something that's a little bit selfish. I want you to stand up, and I'm going to get you to pray for Marie. Marie is my daughter. She's in the process of having a baby. It can come at any time. The last report is she was in a lot of pain, and so I'm going to take you through a prayer, and hopefully you will agree with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I agree with the Bible, and with each person present, and with Earlene, Marie, and Nathan. For Marie, my daughter, to have a natural birth, and both Marie and the child to be in good health. I bind the forces of evil and loose both of them from any demonic activity. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. Now, what we're doing there, you see, we're putting those principles into practice. That's an example. Except I wanted to pray for Marie, and I wanted all of you to pray for me, not just me. You know, I've been praying for Marie every day, but I wanted all of you to pray with me for Marie and for the new baby. Now, let's look at mistakes and tactics. See, we're in a warfare. We're in a warfare, and we have tactics. We're just like an army. You know, how does an army fight? An army uses tactics. Christians make many mistakes and tactics when dealing with the devil, especially in the area of deliverance. Agreement will work in any area of the Christian life when applied properly. It is not just for deliverance. If agreement is done improperly, then it won't work. Okay, now I'm giving you some examples of how you can improperly agree. Right out of the Bible. The world is ignorant of Satan, fallen angels, and demon spirits. Most of the traditional and full gospel Christian world knows little on what the Bible teaches about evil. Satan and his forces are foreign to their way of thinking. Most of the full gospel Christian world believes that Satan cannot harm them and that a Christian cannot have a demon within their body. They believe that if the person has a demon, they are not saved. How's that?
They are not saved.
Not saved.
Explain yourself. I don't think she heard you right.
Okay, let me read that one again. They believe that if the person has a demon, they are not saved. Okay, now let me do a little explaining here. You probably heard. Right. That's true.
So they believe they must hold to the belief that they have none, or else believe that they've lost their salvation. Is that
right? Let me explain. Okay, one of the major religions in the United States, clearly believes that a Christian cannot have a demon. I used to have their little book. I won't call their names out. But I used to have a little booklet, and their theology says that a Christian cannot have a demon. It's in writing. Okay? And this is a full gospel organization which has tremendous influence in the world. See, really one of the... Do I? Well, that's true. You know, you can recognize, and you can see it in their leaders, that that's not true. But they refuse to recognize that. Okay, so what you have is, first you have, say, your traditional Christians who know little or nothing about Satan and his forces. It's just sort of a foreign subject to them. Then you get into the full gospel, charismatic, gospelhagia, Pentecostal. You use all those adjectives if you want to. And there's people who believe not only in salvation. Traditional people are those who believe in salvation. Okay, then you get into full gospel. These are people that add speaking in tongues and divine healing to salvation. Most full gospel people, Pentecostal, gospelhagia, charismatic, they believe in those three items: salvation, baptism, Holy Spirit, and divine healing. Okay, but they don't believe in deliverance because they don't practice it and they don't preach it. Now, so what happens is so they have to have a way of explaining. They have to have a way of explaining why they're such bad Christians. Why do they do the things that they do? Well, it's just the flesh. You know, you just haven't crucified the flesh. All right? So that is their stand. It's really unfortunate. I would estimate that of approximately 5 billion people in the world, only about 2.5% Howard Pittman's death experience in the heavenlies truly know Jesus Christ as their Savior, or 25% of those in church. Now, I believe that. This is Howard may be here this weekend. I don't know. Okay, he's supposed to be here, has a tremendous testimony, and it really affects salvation. He's really done a lot to help see people get saved around the world. But anyway, he died, and he went to heaven, and God kicked him back out and said, you're not ready to come. Go down and do some work. But anyway, while he was in there, he watched 2,000 people die. And out of the 2,000 people that died, 50 made it to heaven, and 1,950 went to hell. That's 2.5%. Then he saw the people in the church, and he saw one out of four people in the church were Christians. In other words, if you go to the average church throughout the world, one person in four who sits in church is a Christian. Now, that means three out of four are church members, but they're not saved. Of this 2.5%, only about 1 in 100 know Jesus as a baptizer of the Holy Spirit, healer of our bodies, and deliverer from demons, are only about 0.25%. If these figures are correct, then only about 1,250,000 in the world really know about baptism, healing, and deliverance. Whatever the figures are, there are not many of them who have come into true deliverance. By true deliverance, I'm talking about deliverance the way we practice it here. A lot of deliverance I see is surface deliverance. It's Christian fantasy. I'll give you a statement I heard at camp. Right. They will say, well, I only have to pray for a person once, and every demon has to leave in the name of Jesus. So they make a real simple prayer. This person comes up for help, and they say, I command every demon to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. It's done, sister or brother. Now, the sister or brother goes their way, and it wasn't done. So they come back, and they say, well, you know, I haven't been healed or delivered or whatever. And then so the leader will say, well, you just haven't exercised your faith. It's pitiful. Right, or you let them back in. See, the pastor won't take the blame for it. Okay, it's always the people. It's not me, it's not my church, it's not by denomination. It's you, you poor pitiful thing. I mean, why can't you receive it by faith?
Right.
If you're one of these people, then you need to be very thankful to God for bringing you into this realm of the spirit world. From the reports we're getting from around the world, more and more people are coming into deliverance. Now, I feel the Holy Spirit right now. You really need to be thankful.
Yes.
I can't express to you how much you need to be thankful for God bringing you into real deliverance.
Yes.
Praise God. Like I was telling Glenn and Irma, we're getting good reports on Emmanuel from around the world. We get letters, telephone calls. We're seeing deliverance spread. People are using it. They're making copies of it. They're using it for teaching aids and so forth. And this is really, we're getting some real good reports. So deliverance is spreading. And one of the ways deliverance is spread is through the written literature that goes out of the camp and through the tapes. When the Christians finally start binding Satan, they think the job is finished after binding. Binding is a temporary measure and must be repeated probably daily. When you bind a demon, you paralyze it temporarily. The demon does not leave, but remains dormant for an unknown period of time. If you don't cast the demon out, you will be daily binding it for the rest of your life. It is better to go ahead and cast the demon out. When the demon is within you, it has the upper hand. When the demon is outside of you, then you have the upper hand. It is easier to live with your demons on the outside than with your demons on the inside. Praise God. See, what are we really trying to do? The end result is we're trying to get rid of your demons. Get them outside of you, outside of your body, outside of your soul. That's what we're trying to do. That's the end result. Now, actually, once we have gotten the demons out of you, we've done our job. Okay, now comes the hardest job. The hardest job is you to keep them out. You have to discipline your mind. You have to discipline your body. You have to keep them out. We cannot keep them out. We cannot discipline your life, and neither will God. So really, casting out demons is the easy part. The hard part is for you to go and discipline your life. Can Satan make you do anything? You have heard the statement many times, the devil made me do it. Can Satan, his fallen angels, or his demons make you do anything? The answer is a resounding no. They cannot make you do anything. You have to be in agreement with evil before you do evil. First, let's look at the steps. 1, 2, 3. First, the enemy places an evil thought in your mind. At this point, you have not sinned. You can reject the thoughts in the name of Jesus Christ. Second, you can relish the thoughts over and over again until you feel that they are your thoughts. Then you want to do the act. Third, your body won't do the act until you tell your muscles to go into action. Excuse me. The evil act is then committed with your agreement. In summary, the thought comes to you, you like the thought, you decide to act on the thought, and the evil deed is committed. We have worked with thousands of people in deliverance. As far as we can determine, we have never worked with a person that was totally demon-possessed. A person that is totally demon-possessed would have absolutely no control over his or her spirit, soul, and body. We have worked with some people that were in very bad shape, but they still had some ability to control their behavior. We have frequently worked with people that are demon-possessed in one or more areas of their lives. Examples would be people that are addicted to something that they have no control over. If they cannot control their actions in this area, then who is controlling their actions? The answer is a demon in their body is controlling their actions. The solution to their problem is to get rid of the demon and sin no more. We deliberately only cast demons out of Christians. If you cast a demon out of an unsaved person, the last state of that person can be worse than the first state if the person does not get saved. You have no guarantee that the person will get saved when the demon is cast out. It may be that the person just wants to do their thing and really does not want to follow Christ. We've run into that. I could give you a good example. If Satan cannot make you do anything, then why are people controlled by demons in some areas of their lives? The answer is that their ancestors or themselves have yielded to the devil in those areas enough times that the demons have a strong effect in these areas on the people's lives. For instance, suppose that you're a glutton, someone whose God is their belly. You're driven by demons to overeat. However, can a demon force you to have the third piece of pie? Can he? Can he force you? No, you have to be in agreement. Now, this is a good one here. It may shake you up. We are our own worst enemy. We have just discussed that Satan and his forces cannot make you do anything unless you and or your ancestors have yielded in this area of sin enough times for the enemy to get a foothold. Even then, it is your choice to obey the demons. Is Satan responsible for all of your mistakes? No. You are responsible for most of the mistakes. We cannot blame the devil for our mistakes. He is not a scapegoat for us to conveniently use to escape our responsibility. Is Satan greater than God? Not hardly. We make mistakes in every area of our lives. The main areas are mental, physical, spiritual, and material. Another way of saying this is that the areas are the spirit, soul, body, and our environment. Or you could use the words salvation, baptism, healing, deliverance, and prosperity. Different areas of our life. We make many mistakes in mental matters. These mistakes are caused by ignorance, not seeking the leadership of the Holy Spirit, false teaching, and so forth. The mistakes in judgment cause us many problems in our business, ministry, and personal lives. We have mental and emotional problems and will to do the wrong things.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.